Well, it's a great, always a great honor to be in the pulpit at Rhema Bible Church, especially on a service where Pastor Hagin's usually here. And of course, they're getting some rest as they have such a busy schedule throughout the year, and so they take those times. But it's an honor to be part of this church and be part of this staff and to have the opportunity to minister the Word of God. I think about all the great word that's gone forth in this auditorium since 1992. I went in 1992, those of you who are here. And praise the Lord. It's a very awe-inspiring, not awful, but awe-inspiring thing to sit here, to stand here and to look around and to see you. And the fact that you would actually come to church tonight, glory to God. Amen. You must really love the Lord, huh?
Amen.
Anybody here love the Lord?
Yeah.
Glory to God. Amen. Well, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 19, if you will. Luke chapter 19. And want to visit kind of a familiar story. I'm going to sum up the first part. Here, Jesus is entered into Jericho and is passing through. And then let me sum up the next few verses. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Lord passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. So that gets us now into verse 7. He said, all who saw it began to complain. He's gone to lodge with a sinful man. Can I just tell you something right now? Not everybody's going to be thrilled with your day of visitation. That's not even part of my sermon tonight, but not everybody's going to be thrilled with your day of visitation. But you know, what does it say, folks? We're to rejoice with those who rejoice. Right? You know, don't ever get mad when God blesses somebody else. Or when it seems like the presence of God's with somebody else. Rejoice. Glory to God. The same God that's meeting their need is the same God that's going to meet your need. Hallelujah. But they weren't very happy. Zacchaeus stood there and said, Lord, look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor. Lord, and if I've extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. Today salvation has come to this house, Jesus told him, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, this is the verse I want to get to. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. To seek and to save the lost. Now tonight, I want to do a little bit through scripture and through a little bit of some other resources. Do a little bit of linguistic study. Now what does that mean? Linguistics is the study of language. And there is a problem, one of the issues that must be solved, one of the gaps that must be closed to understand the Bible, is to bridge this linguistic gap between the language that the Bible was written in and spoken during the time that it was written and our language today. Now, this section of scripture is written in a form of Greek language that's really not spoken Greek language today. And so there are words here that I'm not a Greek word scholar, but I can read after those who are, and thank God for them. You know, I found this out. I don't have to be strong in every area. I just have to know who is.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen? And have those resources available. But he says here, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is to save the lost. Now, the word save here is the word that we place the English letter and alphabet to, and we get the word sozo, S-O-Z-O, sozo. It is probably one of the most, it's probably the most important word, as if you will, in our redemption, in what Jesus has done. He has saved us. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now we hear that word saved, and how many of you are familiar with the term paradigm and paradigm shifts, right? in other words, I mean, things change, mean words go through paradigm shifts. A word might mean something at one point, but then it shifts by usage and different things of that sort. The word changes. When most of us, when we hear the word save, we're thinking of our eternal salvation. And boy, that's a part of it. We don't want, but that's not all this word from the original language means. And so in order for us to fully understand what Jesus came to do, we need to know what this word means, all right? Now, if you got your Bible, turn over to Romans chapter 1. You know, first time I saw that word paradigm, I thought, what is this paradigm? Look it up in the dictionary. You'll find out what I mean by that. I'll be quite honest, I had no idea. I'm reading in a book talking about this paradigm shift. I'm like, paradigm shift? What? Paradigm, you know. And I asked somebody, I actually asked somebody before I looked, I found out what is a paradigm? And they were like, what? I'll just say this, there is no such word as paradigm that I know of. See, it's spelled D-I-G-M at the end, paradigm. Anyway, all right. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Because it is the power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. Now the Greek word for salvation comes from the root word sozo, so it is in the same family of words, salvation. He says, it is the power of God to everyone who believes to salvation. Now, Scofield, in the Scofield Bible, any Southern Baptists in here, great Southern Baptists? You know what a Scofield Bible is, surely. Scofield Bible, he has a note here in Romans 1:16, and he says this, the word salvation, the Hebrew and Greek words for salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and soundness. And if you look up the word in Vine's Expository Dictionary, if you look up the word in Strong's Dictionary, all of those meanings are there in the word saved. So let me read it this way. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for deliverance to everyone who believes. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for safety for everyone who believes. How many of you know that's something important today? Safety. Can I tell you something? I'm going to anyway. I don't know why I asked that. But listen. I don't have any problem because I've done it and do it. You know, the 91st Psalm. Praise God for the 91st Psalm. But we have a better covenant established on better promises, and the safety that we have in our salvation is greater than the safety promised in Psalm 91. Amen. Thank God for Psalm 91. But what did he say? With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I've been shown the salvation, glory to God. And the safety that's there is greater than that Old Testament promise. We've got a name that's above every name. Jesus. His name, Savior, comes from the same word. And he said, I came to seek and save. I came to seek and deliver. I came to seek and keep safe. I came to seek and preserve. I came to seek and heal. Amen. I came to seek and keep sound. Glory to God. You don't have to lose your mind. Soundness is part of our salvation. Sound mind. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, the Bible says. I don't have to lose my mind. Glory to God. Well, you know, you're getting older there. Watch it. The Old Testament, they started making fun of how bald the prophet got and got eaten by some wild animals. Just saying. Some of you really think I'm serious there. But anyway, so let's look at a few scriptures here. Let's look at Acts chapter 16. Keeping in mind now that this word, as you're looking at that, Scofield went on to say that salvation is the great inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes. Now, here's some terms that we know, but it's all a result of salvation: justification, redemption, grace, Propitiation, imputation, which means our sins were imputed to him. He bore them for us so that we might be imputed his righteousness. Forgiveness, sanctification, and glorification. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And where did I put that, Lord? Thank you. Help me. I'm looking something up here, so just hang on a second. Did you find Acts 16? Now, here Paul and Silas, you remember what happened here? They were in prison, right? And they sang in praises unto God at midnight, and the prisoners, everybody heard them. And there was an earthquake that happened, and they were let loose, but they stayed inside. The prison guard, he's going to kill himself. Paul said, don't do that. And then he came in verse 30. He escorted them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now see, what did he experience there? He had seen God deliver them or save them. And his natural response, what must I do to be saved? Paul went on and told him, believe. Believe. That tells me this. Belief, you cannot place belief in something that's not already belonged to you. You may not have it in your possession, but to believe it's yours, it already has to belong to you. What must I do to be saved? Paul said, to believe. So all those things, safety, preservation, deliverance, healing, soundness, all of those things belong to us in salvation. We partake of them through believing. Not working. Can't get them by working for them. They belong to Jesus has done the work. We receive them through, if you will, the currency of faith. The currency of faith. I heard a pastor in Ghana say that. He was talking about they had just spent $750,000 to air condition their building. And he said, other pastors started asking, he said, how did you pay for that? How did you do that? And this man had learned the subject of faith. In fact, in talking to him, you know, he'd basically gone to Rhema through just reading all the books. He said, I told him, we paid for it with the currency of faith. And not one dime came from outside of the country. They air conditioned their own building just from with the currency of faith. Amen. He said, we started declaring our building's air conditioned. Then we went out and got bids and did all that. He said, and we just started declaring it. Told everybody, this is the one we've chosen. Our building's air conditioned. And told them how much it was cost. We have $750,000. Why? Because our building's air conditioned. They started saying it. And they did it. See, salvation, it belonged to them. They just started to declare it. Amen. Amen. Now turn to the next place here. Hang on a second. I got to get back to where I was. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 10. Now, we talk about this in relationship to salvation, do we not? And we should. Glory to God. Here are, we call this sometimes the sinner's prayer, but it's really much more than that. Remember what this word save means? What does it mean? It means to be safe, preserved, healed, kept sound, and delivered, right? Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be delivered. You will be kept safe. You will be preserved. You will be healed. You will be kept sound. I heard T.L. Osborne talk about how that he finally got to where he asked people to, when he taught people to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior in these mass crusades, he told them, not just the Savior of your sin, he's your healer. So when you receive Jesus as your Lord, you're receiving him as your healer. And he just prayed one prayer and people just started getting healed. Amen. Never touched a one of them. Never prayed a special prayer for healing. Just confess that Jesus is your Lord. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. See, Jesus rising from the dead activated salvation for us. That's what you have to believe. Believe that he's alive and you will be saved. Now he goes on here to say, verse 10, with the heart one believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses, resulting in salvation, resulting in deliverance, resulting in safety, resulting in preservation, resulting in healing, resulting in a sound mind and a sound life. Saved. Glory to God. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. One thing interesting in that verse, I looked up that word lost. I had never really looked it up before. And it means to be utterly destroyed. To be destroyed. Jesus came to seek and save those who are destroyed. Now, think with me, John 10:10. I know Craig's not here, but I can use his verse. The thief comes not but for to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to reverse that. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What did he come to do? He came to save us. And that salvation brings life and life more abundant. You're not living an abundant life sick in your body, right? Tormented in your mind? Under bondage? No, we're to live a delivered life. Glory to God. A safe life. Amen. Of course, you know, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, the Bible says. Absolutely. All right, let's look at our next verse here. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. Remember when Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer? The lame man was there, laid daily at the gate. He looked at Peter and John, expecting something from them. Peter said to him, you know, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. And notice, Peter and John, they didn't have any money, because if you read the chapter before that, they'd all brought their money together, were helping folks out. And so he showed up at the temple. He didn't have any money on him, but he didn't come empty-handed, glory to God. He had something. And so, you know what he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Took him by the hand and lifted him up, and the man went walking and leaping and praising God. And then he gets over in chapter 4, and the religious leaders, again, remember those who aren't always excited on the day of your visitation? They showed up again. And they asked Peter and John, how are you able to do this? Look here in verse number 12. They told him it was through the name of Jesus. Then they said this, there is salvation and no one else. Well, stop again. Let's re-educate ourselves. Let's understand. Let's get vocabulary. Do some vocabulary here, which means know the meaning. There is deliverance and no one else. There is preservation. There's safety. There's healing. There is soundness and no one else. For there is no other name given to people by which we must be saved, healed, delivered, kept safe, preserved, kept sound. There's no other name. It's in that name. That's why whosoever calls on the name shall be saved or healed or delivered. See, when heaven hears the word, when you declare, I'm saved, heaven doesn't hear that as I have eternal salvation. That's part of it. They hear, you've received all that Jesus did.
Amen.
I'm saved. I believe he rose from the dead. What else does he have to do? He bore all that. He bore our sins. He bore our sicknesses and diseases. And then he rose from the dead, defeated death, hell, and the grave, got the keys of death, hell, and the grave with him, and said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Now you go, therefore. Why? Because you're saved. Go out there and get some others saved.
Amen?
Amen? That's why Peter's walking down the street and his saved shadow's hitting people. And they're getting healed. That's why Paul and Silas and their saved selves are praising God when they're in prison and the prison doors open. Because they're saved. Glory to God. Amen. Now let's look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians. Sorry. Those of you who know me don't write it down until we actually read it. Right? Can I get a witness? Anybody? Yes. In class, you know that's true. Amen. Yeah, don't write it down. I see people, you know, folks that like take nice, neat notes, they don't like my class. You know, they get to... Hallelujah. Oh, I do have it here. Praise the Lord. Okay. Ephesians 2:8. Let's look at this here. Let me read it. I'm reading from the Holman Christian today. For by grace, glory to God, are you saved. For by grace are you delivered. By grace are you safe. By grace are you preserved. By grace are you healed. By grace are you sound. Through faith. The power twins, glory to God, grace and faith. They work together. See, if it's not of faith, then it can't be of grace. So you can't have grace without faith. And if it's not by grace, it can't be through faith. So you got to have them both. Neither one's greater than the other. Amen. We need them all. We need all of the aspects of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. That is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. That's salvation. For by grace are you healed. Amen. Well, you know, now I'm not against, listen. Yes. Why get saved and live like you're lost? Jesus came and to seek and save which was destroyed. Quit living a destroying life now that you're saved. See? Don't live in sin. Okay? But it's by grace that you're healed, not by your life. But, you know this as well as I do, you can hinder God's grace. You can frustrate it, the Bible said. What grace? Your healing. The grace of healing. You can frustrate it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, just stay up for 72 hours straight. Without a good reason. Well, I'm believing God for my healing. You can believe all you want. You did something stupid. You better repent first and get thou some sleep. You know? Amen. You know, I know I learned this from listen to Brother Hagin talk, but you go out, you know, some of you are going to be preachers. You go out and you preach up a storm, you know, you get all sweat. You go out in a cool evening. Air and it hits you and your throat closes. You can't feel, oh, the devil's attacking me. No, you did something stupid. Put a jacket on. Take care of yourself. Put a hat on if you need to. Well, I'm just going to believe God. Hope that works for you. Don't ever forget what Pastor Hagin has said to us all these years. The natural and the supernatural comes together, makes the explosive force for God. Amen? I've always enjoyed how practical he is about that. Let me read this to you from Weiss translation. Are you ready now? Weiss says this, by grace have you been saved completely in past time with the present result that you are in a state of salvation which persists through the present time. Now, let me take out the word saved and put the word healed in there. By grace, you have been healed completely in past time with the present result that you are in a state of healing which persists through present time. Amen. Ooh. By Jesus Christ. Yes, that's exactly what he just said. Yes. The past action of Jesus bearing your sickness and your disease on his body is persisting because of grace to this present time, and you are healed. You are delivered by a past action that was done by grace that we received through faith. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. It persists. I love that. It persists. Well, you know the devil, he's persistent. My healing's more persistent. Provided by Jesus. Oh man, this salvation, it's persistent. Quit pushing it off. Embrace it. Embrace your salvation, your healing. Now, one more place I want us to turn. This is our power, so we got to finish up here. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Well, I just don't know if it's God's will for me to be healed. Remember, what's our word saved mean? It means, remember, delivered, to be delivered. It means to be kept safe, preserved. Preserved, right? How many like good preserves? That means you're tasty, glory to God. Anytime someone says, you're well preserved, I'm tasty, glory to God. It means healed, and it means soundness. Every area of life, soundness. How about financial soundness? He didn't leave that out. Soundness. That's what the word saved means. Now, we've read it, and we've limited it to just being eternal salvation or our eternity, being born again, which, you know, don't leave that out. But people say, well, what would you rather be, born again or healed? You don't have to choose. It's all part of the deal. It's all part of being saved. Glory to God. Now, here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he talked about praying for people, you know, making supplication for kings, all those who are in authority. And he gets down there in verse 3, this is good and it pleases God our Savior. Look at verse 4. Who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? Whew, glory to God. I can't figure out how to keep anybody out of everyone. Can you? So that would include all of us in here, right? Everyone in here. That would include everyone who else is at a Wednesday night service anywhere in the world tonight. That would include them. But that also includes the person who you might think is the rankest sinner in the whole town. It's God's will that they would be saved, healed, delivered, preserved, kept safe, and have a sound life. And come into the knowledge of it. Where do you, not just knowledge where, oh, I heard it. Knowledge where I know how to work it. I know how to live in my salvation. That's God's will. So we don't ever have to question again if it's God's will to heal anybody. Not based on that scripture and not based on the fact that Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. I wonder if God will deliver that. You better believe God will deliver that one. That's why Jesus came. It's His will. It's His will. Glory to God. It's His will. Now listen, that's great for us in the church, but you take that out on the streets. I just got back from 2 weeks in Kenya watching some just recent young Rhema grads, you know, still wet behind the ears, walk up to people in their shops and say, anybody in here sick? Anybody in here need prayer? One older gentleman. He said, well, my back hurts. One of the young fellas just played on our basketball team this last year. He prayed for him, laid his hands on him, said, well, in Jesus' name be healed. Fella jumped up, started dancing around, reached down, touched his toes, started shouting. His back was healed. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? It's God's will that he be saved. Come on. Coming to a knowledge of the truth. Saw deaf people healed. Crippled people get up. Went to a hospital and went into the malaria ward and were praying for people in there. And we were getting ready to leave, and this young girl in a really nice, kind of a bright red dress comes up and stands next to the team and smiling all smiles and kind of looking at her like, okay. She goes, you remember me? And they're like, because, you know, in the hospital, everybody's got blue. They had blue scrubs like on in their hospital bed. She goes, you just prayed for me. I had malaria. Now they told me I get to go home. I'm healed. Hadn't been 15 minutes. She was happy. She was saved. Hallelujah. Well, that works everywhere. That works for us. Glory to God. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for being saved tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we're saved. We're delivered. Hallelujah. Jesus, you are my Lord. Hallelujah. I believe God raised you from the dead. Glory to God. And I am saved, healed, delivered. I am safe. I'm preserved. Glory to God. And I am living a sound life. Every area of my life, Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord, to come into the knowledge of the truth of it, every part of it. Glory to God. Well, our prayer team's coming. Pastor Marvin, do we have any first-time guests tonight? Ooh, glory to God. Well, it's a good night for all of you to be here again. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It's so good to be saved, isn't it? I encourage you, spend some time looking at that. Every time you see the word saved or salvation in the New Testament, add that definition to it. Or say it, read it with those other words involved, because that's the meaning of it. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you tonight. Lift your hands right now with me. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Father, may it rise up and live big within each and every one of us. May it bring faith to the hearer tonight, Lord. Father, thank you for saving us. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget all the announcements. Pick up a bulletin. If not, everybody will be here Sunday morning. School of the Bible, 9 o'clock. Amen. Church at 10. And Pastor Ms. Hagen will be here Sunday. Is that right? Pray for Craig. I think Craig's still in Albania or Greece or somewhere over there. Spiros has him, so really pray for him. For those of you who know Spiros. But he's over there teaching in all the schools that are over there in that area. All of our Ramas around the world. Praise God. God bless you. Shake hands with somebody tonight and tell them, I am saved. Amen. You can be dismissed.